Week 117 of Brad's Branded Thoughts, and it's been a while since we've been with everyone. It's been a tumultuous and crazy last month or two, and we'll, of course, talk about it here in a moment. I'm joined by Alex Brada, Noah Kruko, Micaiah Kruko. We're all here kind of talking about the current landscape of things, and of course, it's been a difficult month for sports as well, as there's really nothing going on, and of course, we'll talk about why that is and the outlook moving forward. And there are things, it's a good kind of a time period to reflect on the season that was in both football and basketball, the seasons that are coming as well. But first of all, I want to just kind of go over a couple things that we're starting new here on the podcast. Of course, Brad is Brandon Thoughts. We're week 117. I don't know how we've recorded 117 different shows.
We haven't recorded 116. This is 117.
That's true. Thank you. But my point is,
and I've been on 100 of them.
Didn't this whole thing start like 5 years ago or something?
I think it was longer. When was the first show, Alex? Was it 2013?
You were still in Marshalltown. That ought to give you something.
Well, no, I know that. I think it was like 2013.
I'd have to look back. We could find out.
No, it was 2014. That was the first year Noah and I joined the fantasy football league.
Okay. All right. That would make sense. Yeah. And so since then, we've been operating through our SoundCloud relationship, I should call it, I guess. So whatever you want to call it. It's funny. We've been using SoundCloud since 2014. And now that we're not using SoundCloud anymore, I think I can basically say this pretty matter-of-factly. I hate it. I literally think it's terrible.
It is. All right.
So I'm not an aspiring rapper. Okay. I'm not some gangster who's about to try to make it big through SoundCloud. And so what we've decided to do here is
straight out of him.
Yeah. So as you noticed here, we didn't have an opening song. We're kind of putting our music side of the podcast away. I know, Micaiah, I'm sorry to disappoint you on that one. I know you enjoyed, you enjoyed our Maroon 5 and our little clips, but doesn't mean we can't talk about music here and there, but you know, we're going to kind of stick to
our own.
Yeah, we could make our own music, right? But we're trying to do things the right way and make this a little bit more official. And so as we move forward here, here's how it's going to go down. As maybe some of our listeners know, as you guys know, I live in Ames. You guys live in Marshalltown. Since living in Ames, we're still involved. My wife and I are still involved with our full-time ministry work. We do our small cleaning business to support ourselves financially. But this last week, I launched what I'm calling a Story County News website. Now, this website's not going to be delving into, of course, political things or social issues or, you know, the things that you hear when you turn on the major news networks today. We're going to focus on just reporting urban growth and development and, you know, maybe some public relations things that people actually care about and things that are not divisive. And, of course, it's kind of a hobby of mine. This is something I was involved with heavily when I was in Marshalltown through the newspaper there at Marshalltown High School, and then, of course, moving on into the radio field. But we're going to be able to use this website to integrate this podcast. And I know maybe when you hear that, you think, well, news and Brad's Branded Thoughts, they don't really have much of a relationship. And that is true to a degree. But what we're going to be able to do with this website is basically be able to use it as a replacement of SoundCloud. We're going to be able to use it basically as a platform for our podcast, and we're going to have a totally separate section of the website devoted to our shows. Now, there is a bit of a gap there, again, of how we're going to integrate and do so effectively, and so that gap will be filled. We'll figure out how to fill that gap, but the important thing is we're going to have a better platform now to have our MP3s available for download and have them be able to be listened to on a browser, not through a third-party SoundCloud. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just a little bit more freedom, and it's Alex, I think you're probably tired of trying to work your way around the SoundCloud system.
Don't tell me we lost Alex
again. He muted himself again. Alex, unmute your mic.
Jeez.
What's up?
Why are you muting yourself? Why are you continuing to mute yourself?
I breathe heavily.
Are you with us? Are you against us? What? It's... Okay. So
yeah.
What are your thoughts on being able to kind of ditch SoundCloud and move to this more of an independent layout?
Well, like I think you said, you know, it's SoundCloud's meant more for music, and music doesn't tend to last 90 minutes per per piece of audio. So,
well, maybe not the music you listen to.
My question is, what are you listening to that's 90 minutes long?
New age classical swing jazz.
Rad as Brandon thoughts.
Yeah, definitely 90 minutes long. So, Alex, are you excited about this, you know, whatever you want to call this change in format?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as it's up and running, I'll be curious to see how smoothly it goes and how everything works.
Oh, no. We found this song.
Brad is branded thoughts. Brad is branded thoughts.
At the very beginning,
Brad is branded thoughts. Brad is branded thoughts. Brad is branded thoughts. Come in your way now.
Oh my goodness, someone auto-tuned that.
My ears are bleeding.
And you thought we wouldn't have music on this new format.
And thus, it's the end of episode one.
You were right.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to go die now.
All right. Now, I do want to... I know that nobody that may...
That's
or...
how we open the podcast from now on.
Hey, we did... Remember, those are dark times. We don't talk about that. But, just I know that nobody that may or most likely are not listening, no pun intended, no joke intended there, know this. What's the pun? Yeah. But I'm going to show you guys what this website is. So are you seeing my screen here?
No.
Not yet, no.
Really?
Did you hit the share screen button that looks like a square in the corner? Oh, wait. Yeah, there we go.
Okay. All right. So this is what we got here, right? So, I'm just going to show you what this the basic layout of this website is. Is we've got it somewhat designed, with the help of a friend of mine that is has a bit more experience with this. Now this is just. There hasn't been a water main break, just so you know. I know it looks like good. It is, but as you see...
Oh, yes, by none of your business.
So this is just how it would... This is how it will look, right?
That's a terrible headline.
So this is what it looks like, and we're going to, up here in this area, we're going to add a section for media and for the podcast. Again... I don't really know exactly. There's gaps to be filled. There are questions still to be answered, but we've come a long way getting it to this stage. I guess just stay tuned, everybody, and we'll still be operating through our Facebook page. We'll still be delving out our links to our podcasts. So no worries about that. But this will be able to. I'm trying to think of the right word. Synchronize everything. That might be the right
simplify. Term.
Say that again.
Simplify.
Well, simplify. There's a word that's on the tip of my tongue and I can't think of what it is, and it's not synchronize. I'll think
strangulate.
No, not strangulate. Although we like to do that too. But this is what it is, and the website is storycounty.news. And so very simple, not hard to remember. But again, we'll have a section of this website devoted to the podcast. So just wanted to update our listeners on that.
I will tell you, Corey, I have dabbled into programming a website myself just a little bit. It looks very good. And it takes a lot of work to get it to look that way.
I am pleased to tell you I did none of it.
It was all none your business.
Yeah, that's right. And I am, so I'll give my father-in-law some credit. He has, of course, he's an IT software designer, and he's got a GoDaddy.com account. So he kind of helped me get my website generally set up as far as getting a domain name and whatnot. And then he's got a friend of his that he's got working on website design. So it's kind of one of those things. It's kind of helping him and it's helping me because this is an excuse to have him, his guy that works for him, begin to delve into creating a website. And it also helps me because I get my website created. So, and I'm getting familiar with it myself so that I can operate it without his help. So again, we'll keep everybody updated on that moving forward, but let's talk a little bit about what's happening in the world of everything. I don't know the last time that you guys were on our show. I know, Alex, we came on, I think it was before. Was it before the Illinois-Iowa basketball game?
Yeah, I think so.
So we came on, we talked about how big that game was, right? And you and I just talked about how those were the games, and I hate to sound like I'm beating a dead horse, and Micaiah, Noah, you'll understand this from talking to me about football and from just watching Iowa football over the years. Iowa has had numerous opportunities in the past 10 years and 10 years I think is pretty accurate, from 2010 to 2020. Iowa football and Iowa basketball, they've both had numerous opportunities, big-time games where there's a lot of hype, there's a lot of buildup, and usually the big ones, Iowa finds a way to lose. And maybe that's too general of a statement. I know I've got some games in my mind that, hey, they won these games and it was a big deal. Like this, I think of this past year in Ames when College Game Day came to Ames for the first time and Iowa found a way to squeak that game out after, what, 3 hours of a rain delay, a lightning delay.
That was a fun day.
Yeah, so that's like an example of a big game they won. But let's be honest, they typically lose the big ones. Is that pretty accurate as an Iowa fan to say?
It definitely feels like it.
I'm kind of used to it.
So you guys have tested my Iowa football knowledge of the last 20 years, correct?
We went through that.
And believe me, I'm not spending hours on...
I don't blame you for it. I'm the same way with the NBA.
it's just a thing of mine, but... I'll tell you this. If you go back to 2010, I can basically tell you almost every single. Now, 2012 was just a terrible year. They were 4-8. It was a lost season. But 2010, the big game that year for Iowa was the Wisconsin. And maybe in hindsight, it was bigger because it was kind of a turning point that season. But Iowa loses at home, giving up a fake punt late in the game against Wisconsin. And then Iowa gets the ball back and fails to capitalize. They lose to Wisconsin. That was the year Iowa was, you know, expected to make a run at the Rose Bowl after their miracle 2009 season. But they found a way to lose that game in 2010. 2013-14, that range, 12-13-14, not great. I mean, I think they won eight games in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. I think they, I believe they finished 8-5 with a loss in the Capital One Bowl. But especially since 2015, you think about what 2015 entailed, 12-0, and they come so close. We know they've won 12 games, they've played three great quarters, and they're, you know, under, they're less than a minute away from going to the college football playoff at 13-0. And Noah, what did they do?
They blew it.
They blew it.
By right? the way, what did you say was their record in 2014?
2013-2014, that season. Or what are you asking me? Are you asking me about 2014?
The year before their undefeated regular season.
Was it just like 8 wins?
The year before their undefeated season, they were 7-6.
Yes, and they lost in the Tax Slayer Bowl.
To Tennessee by a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to do a quick fact check.
Oh, yeah.
On that.
No, I was thinking of the year before when they went 8-5. I think they lost in the Outback Bowl to LSU.
Very good.
But anyways, my point is 2015, you have a huge opportunity and the biggest, and I remember saying this, Alex, and I think you agreed with me at the time. That was the biggest game we had experienced as Iowa fans. And it's been the biggest game since. I mean, we've not had a bigger game than that 2015 Big Ten Championship game. Would I be correct in saying that?
Yeah, I mean, that was the year that Iowa was really in the national conversation more than any other year I can remember. And, you know, they had a chance to, you know, lock in a spot in the playoff, which is crazy. I mean, with all the talk of strength of schedule and whatnot that year, regardless of that, if they'd won that game, they were there. So, you know, it was a huge game.
2016 was a disappointment. They, of course, did lose to North Dakota State early. That kind of sent their season in the wrong direction, similar to the Wisconsin loss in 2010. They did recover. They won that game against Michigan. But again, a lot of these games where they beat these big-time opponents, and this is playing devil's advocate as a non-Iowa fan, and I don't want to sound like I'm not being supportive, but if you notice, Micaiah, most of these games where Iowa finds a way to knock off a major opponent, it's usually in during times where it really doesn't matter. Does that make sense? Like, I shouldn't say doesn't matter. It matters, but the game does not have large implications. It may have large implications for the other team. I think of the 2016 game where Akram Wadley went off and almost single-handedly beat Michigan that year. And Iowa had just gotten blown out to Penn State the week before. They were basically out of the West Division race. And they came back and beat a top-five Michigan team. 2017, very similar. They blow the doors off Ohio State, who was in the conversation for a national championship that year. 2017, all right? But Iowa was not in the conversation at that point in the season. They win that game at home against Ohio State, and because of that win, they actually got into the conversation because they knew that if they had beaten Wisconsin in Madison the next week, they had a real opportunity to win the West. But they had to beat Wisconsin the next week, and what happened in that game, Noah?
38-14, Wisconsin.
They got obliterated.
I like how you're the stats guy.
I might as well.
Does anybody here remember what where those 14 points came from? Anybody without looking it up? Anybody? Alex? Noah?
I'm gonna guess it was
Josh Jackson. Two pick sixes from Josh Jackson. That was where they came.
Iowa scored 0 points in that game. Offense scored 0.
Iowa was terrible in that game. That was after the week after the Ohio State game.
Oh yeah, okay. Wasn't the opening play in the Ohio State game a pick six?
For Iowa, right? And yeah. the opening offensive play for Wisconsin in the following week was another pick six for Iowa, but again, it didn't translate into what it translated against Ohio State. And again, it was on the road. And Wisconsin's a very good team, as they always are. But it's just, again, it's another year where the biggest game of the year, they lost. And I can make an argument that since 2015, every single year they've lost the biggest game of the year. 2015, they lost in the Big Ten championship game against Michigan State, as we talked about. 2016, I really don't know what the biggest game of that year was. I would probably say it was the Penn State game where they got blown out. I hate to say that playing devil's advocate, but it probably was because that basically eliminated them from the conversation in the West. That was the week before they beat Michigan.
It'd probably be between that and Wisconsin.
2016, and they lost that game against Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
2017, the biggest game of that season. Or did I just say that? What are we talking about here? Oh, yeah, 2017 was the Wisconsin game as well, the week after the Ohio State game, because they were back in the conversation. What did they do? They laid an egg. As Alex said, it was basically 38-0. If you want to call it 38-14, that's fine. But take away Josh Jackson, it's 38-0, maybe worse. 2018, I have to rack my brain for 28. 2018 is, again, one of those years where there's sometimes years where it's almost like I have vivid memories of years like 2017 for some reason. And like the odd years are typically the years I remember. I don't know why that is, but like I have a problem remembering what happened in 2016 and 2018 and 2014. And anyways, but 2018, as I recall, Iowa went to the Pinstripe Bowl. Is that right?
Outback Bowl.
After the 2018 season. Oh, that's right. After the 2018 season, they went to the Outback Bowl. The previous year, they went to the Pinstripe Bowl. Is that right?
Yes. And they have won, including this last year, the last three bowl games that they've been in.
Yeah. So, but I would say the biggest game in 2018 was, again, the Wisconsin game. Was it not? I mean, that usually is the biggest game. Not always. Again, 2015 is a good example of that. But 2018, that was Wisconsin early on in the year. I think it was the first Big Ten game of the season, and Iowa was undefeated, correct?
Yep.
And
then they won three straight after that.
But that really puts them, as we know, that puts them behind the eight ball, so to speak, when you lose to Wisconsin, especially at home. And you know, they were up in that game, had a chance, you know, to win that game. If it wasn't for Kyle Groeneweg making two costly punt return errors, Iowa probably would have won that game. But again, biggest game of the year they lose. And then 2019, last year, no question, it was the Wisconsin game. Listen, Iowa had a great year last year, and it was a kind of an odd year because usually Iowa always has a game where they beat somebody they shouldn't and they lose to somebody they shouldn't lose to. But they didn't really have that last year. They took care of business against basically everybody and lost to Wisconsin on the road. And again, it was a game where Iowa had a real chance to win that game. Now, we know what happened in that game. We were watching it at Calvin Rocket there in Marshalltown. We know the ref kind of got in the way of Mekhi Sargent on the block of Nate Stanley on the QB sneak that would have been – I'm sorry, it was a QB draw that would have tied the game up on the two-point conversion. And again, we can always play these well – you know, if, ands, or buts, all this, you know, junk that doesn't matter at this point. The bottom line is Iowa loses the big games. So why am I going through all this? Well, the Illinois basketball game here at the end of the year was very similar. And Alex and I, we talked about how big that game was. It was a chance for Iowa to get a double bye in the Big Ten tournament, which Fran McCaffrey has never done at Iowa in his 10 years of being the head coach. And they knew that if they won that game, it was a de facto elimination from double bye consideration. They win it. They got the double bye. They lose it. They get the fifth seed. And Alex, I mean, let's be honest. Looking back, I'm kind of glad they didn't win it. I mean, is that a bad way to look at it now that everything's happened? Or would you have been in favor of them winning this or winning that double bye? And you know, of course, what happened afterwards? How do you put all that into context?
I haven't really thought about it in terms of, you know, the situation now, but honestly, before that game, I thought it was a big game, but I didn't think the result was all that important. Obviously, getting double bye is important, but I felt like they just needed to play well and get back into the swing of things. And I thought they did that to an extent, which to me makes me more disappointed now because I felt like they were playing well enough to really, you know, make some noise in both tournaments. And so that's really what is more disappointing to me than anything. Them losing that game, yeah, I kind of saw that coming. I think we both did to an extent, but, you know, it's a tough team. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it was a situation kind of like with football where, yeah, you don't expect them to win some of these games that are huge because they're usually against pretty good competition and oftentimes on the road. But again, they seem to put themselves in position to win, and then they find a way to lose. Am I wrong in saying that? Am I just being a negative fan in observing both sports that way?
Well, I think you're right to an extent, but I don't think it was that important a game in that it really didn't matter. It's like if they took care of business, and it would have helped them out to set them up for success. But if they still went on a tear in the tournament, in the Big Ten tournament, you know, it wouldn't have mattered in the end if they had beaten everyone in the tournament, regardless if they beat one more team. You know, it's not like that killed their chances. It just made it harder for them. So in that sense, it wasn't like an elimination game where you're losing the chance to even be in, you know, the race for the Big Ten West or whatever, like with football. So it's a little bit different, but yeah, it was a significant game. Maybe not now.
And of course, Iowa fell behind in that game. I thought there was some poor reffing in that game against Illinois. But Iowa makes the big comeback and gets back within two, and Garza gets blocked in the final seconds. McCaffrey Connor also had a couple opportunities to tie it. So I don't know. And again, maybe it's just I'm pretty bummed out with the situation we're in right now with literally nothing. You can't. I mean, there's no other options right now. You know, with this virus, I think it was inevitable that things were going to get shut down. But the timing of all that with college sports, and again, there's a lot of things bigger than sports. But we're talking about sports here, so I think we can talk about how disappointing it was that March Madness got canceled. The NBA season is on a hiatus and may not come back. The MLB, although I'm not a baseball fan, pro baseball is you know, very much in question right now. The Olympics got postponed today. We don't know when those are going to take place. Maybe next year. The Kentucky Derby, the Masters, the PGA Championship, tennis is on hold. Everything's on hold. Even NASCAR is on hold now. I believe. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Is NASCAR still going with no fans?
I have no idea.
We got Google. Hang on.
Last time I knew that they were still going without fans. Maybe that's changed.
Well, the first thing that shows up is that one race that was supposed to be coming up is postponed. Let me check the news. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, the bottom line is, basically everything is gone right now. And
okay. So from what I can tell, a post from FoxSports.com, they're talking about being ready to go when it's time to race again after the whole COVID-19 thing is done. So it sounds like they're also postponing their events for now.
Yeah. And again, I'm not a NASCAR fan, but I hate to say this, but if NASCAR were still going, I'd probably be watching. Yeah. Alex, would you agree?
It's just something, right?
I would agree that you'd be watching it.
You would? Come on. I think you would. I think if you're being honest with yourself, there's literally nothing else to watch.
Yeah, I mean,
else sports-related to watch.
I'd rather, you know, I don't know if you have ESPN, but they've been showing a lot of throwback stuff. I don't know if they're
showing. Yeah, I'm about to throw my shoe at the television. I'm so sick of this throwback stuff. That's all that's on. Saturday, we should have been, if things were on schedule, we should have been watching second round of the NCAA tournament. Instead, we're watching 1985 national title game between Houston and North Carolina State with Hakeem Olajuwon. And, I mean, come on.
You don't appreciate that.
No, I don't appreciate that. Not on March.
I can think of one person sitting about 10 feet away from me that would appreciate that kind of stuff.
Not on
I'd watch it.
not on March 21st. If it's in the middle of May or June, fine. But this is March Madness time, boys. And
it's March Madness, that's for sure.
It's just a different kind of madness this year.
It's as ESPN termed it, it's March Sadness is what it is. Yeah. But Alex, what were your thoughts the day I texted you on that Wednesday night? You know, we got in the first round of the Big Ten tournament in play. We knew that Iowa was playing Minnesota after the Gophers knocked off Northwestern. We know Iowa was 2-0 against Minnesota this season, the regular season. So we felt pretty good. I think you probably felt pretty good as well about Iowa's chances against Minnesota, although Minnesota could beat Iowa. We know they can. But again, they got in the first day. I texted you Wednesday night and said, I didn't say my opinion. I was holding on to hope that they'd play, but there was an analyst from ESPN that basically came on SportsCenter and said he thought we'd seen our last college basketball game of the year. And that was somewhat shocking to me. Maybe it's because I'm completely displaced from the situation. But here's how this all came about. Two things. And I have my opinions on both. Rudy Gobert is diagnosed with coronavirus, right? And that was on Wednesday.
Right now, before they were supposed to play a game.
Right.
Right.
And it also was right after he made a total fool of himself by joking about it and touching microphones and doing all this. And Alex, you can defend it till you're blue in the face. Rudy Gobert is an idiot. I have no respect for that.
Have I defended it?
I have no... Well, no, I can... I'm just saying, I have no respect for that guy anymore because what he did to me contributed to all of this. Now, I know it was all going to... It wasn't just him that made this. It's not like the nation wouldn't be in a situation, you know, the world wouldn't be in a situation that it is in if it wasn't for Rudy Gobert. What I'm saying, though, is that put the scare in people. And you have to admit his carelessness contributed to Donovan Mitchell getting it, to the scare in college and what happened, the quick response from all these conferences shutting things down. He had a role in that.
Yeah, well, apparently he lit some bridges on fire in Utah.
It's hard to know what's going on with them. You know, there's a lot of media talk about relationships and whatnot, but
Donovan Mitchell. I mean, it's not the media. Donovan Mitchell even said that it's caused a strain.
Right. No, I don't have any trouble believing that. It's just hard to know how much is real. You know, those guys have known each other for a while, but anyways, the only thing I'm not clear on is why was he tested? I mean, he was already having symptoms if I'm correct. So him, you know, being stupid and touching mics, it wouldn't have made any difference, I don't think, what resulted from that, because he was going to get tested anyways.
I don't think it was the fact that he was touching mics. I think it was just the fact that basically showed how he viewed the situation and the contagion, so to speak.
Right, but there's no way to know that is why he got it.
Well, I'm not saying that's why he got it. I don't think that's why he got it, because by the time he got tested, like you said, he was asymptomatic. So he had it while he was joking about it. That's the point.
Right.
He definitely had it when he was joking about it.
But let's say in a parallel universe, he hadn't joked about it. I don't think any of this would have played out any differently.
Well, that may be.
It may not have played out any differently.
What matters more is the way it looks. It doesn't matter what he did or whether it did or didn't contribute to the situation. What matters is the fact that he shouldn't have been joking about it because it's a serious situation. I defended
him. Nobody's disagreeing with that.
He was teasing about it and touching stuff, and I'm like, well, that's uncalled for.
Well,
yeah, nobody's defending his what he's doing. I'm just saying I don't think it affected the NCAA's response, the NBA's response, him being a clown like that.
Maybe not a serious enough situation. But him being tested positive did directly affect the NCAA.
Right, and like I said, there's no way to know how he got it, if his own carelessness directly contributed to that or not.
I can tell you, too, Fran McCaffrey was on the radio this past week and was talking about his experience with his team that week. And they had a team dinner, I believe, and a walkthrough on Wednesday night. And when the news broke that Rudy Gobert had been tested positive, Connor looked at his dad and said, "We're not playing." And Fran said, "Yeah, I know. We're not playing." And they woke up the next morning and went through walkthrough, and they thought, "Wow, nothing's been canceled. Okay, we're good. We're, you know," they were about ready to get out there. And of course, the first game, they were 10 minutes from tipping or 20 minutes from tipping off before it was called off, which, again, timing doesn't make any sense to me. Not sure why it took so long. Don't think it was fair to fans. I know fans that drove to Indianapolis and are just out the money because of it. And again, you know, that was going to happen either way because the Rudy Gobert news didn't break till Wednesday night. And the other thing that contributed to this that was talked about for a while, but I think deserves to be talked about some more. And I was kind of going back and forth on this, and now I feel very strongly on one side of it. Fred Hoiberg set a really bad example with what he did on Wednesday night, in my opinion. You know, by Wednesday afternoon, the news had already broke that the NCAA was banning fans from March Madness, from the tournament. And Fred Hoiberg, coaching one of the worst teams in the Big Ten, the Nebraska Cornhuskers this year. And again, it's his first season. I'm not dogging him for that. But Nebraska is not even a factor. They were not even a factor in the tournament. And Fred Hoiberg, amidst all of this, he's sick, and he says, "Well, I was cleared by the team doctors." That's what. So he comes out there, gets sick on the bench, and about 5 minutes before the end of the game, has to leave. He's shown on the sidelines with his head in his hands, looks pale as a ghost. He had to go to the hospital because of his illness. And people are going online defending the guy. How do you defend that? I don't care how many doctors clear you. How do you go on national television in a situation like this and attempt to coach your 13th place Huskers? How does that work?
So he ended up, he didn't have coronavirus, correct?
No, no. But who cares? What does it matter if he had coronavirus? That's not the point.
Yeah, I know. It just seems odd that he would have such a severe reaction.
Well, the point is you just don't do that. What I mean, even if, here's the thing. If and I've never had a real issue with Fred Hoiberg other than the fact that he's a Cyclone. But how do you justify making that statement on national television during, because at this point it had already become a national mm-hmm. crisis. How do you go on television and do that? And again, I keep coming back to the fact that Nebraska, the game didn't mean anything. Ultimately, it meant nothing for Nebraska. It meant a lot more for every other team in that tournament, maybe besides Northwestern. It really didn't mean anything for Nebraska. Why was he out on the bench? Why was he coaching? To me, he's even more to blame than Rudy Gobert, at least with the fact that the conference tournaments got canceled.
Yeah, I mean, it's a time thing, how quickly that would have happened. Would you have been more happy if they had played a couple games? Let's say Iowa looked really good and they played one game or two games and then it got canceled. I mean, to me, that would be more disappointing probably than.
No, I want to see Iowa play basketball. That's what I want to see. And if they play a couple of games and look good, what's the difference? I mean, what's the difference? I'm disappointed either way. I'm disappointed now because we don't know what could have been. If they had played a couple of games and looked good, I'd have been disappointed for a different reason because I would have seen, okay, they were on a roll and they were, you know, maybe I would have been more disappointed, but at least we've been able to see. The Big Ten tournament would have been done Sunday. You don't think that they could have held the Big Ten tournament from Friday to Sunday with no fans?
Maybe they could have, but you know, again, that doesn't look great from a conference standpoint or from a NCAA standpoint to be potentially having people say, "Oh, you're endangering your players doing that." But
who are you? Okay, here's my issue with this. Now, again, I went back and forth on this. And every conference did it. Okay, I'm not, and there are people a lot smarter than me who are making these decisions. I know they're getting information from people who know, you know, the situation a lot better than I do. But okay, Wednesday afternoon comes. They had fans at the Big Ten tournament Wednesday. The NCAA comes out and says no fans at the NCAA tournament. Later on in the afternoon, evening, the Big Ten comes out and says no fans at the Big Ten tournament the rest of the week. Okay, fine. Big Ten fans have to leave. They made that announcement, and the very next morning, then they cancel it. What changed from that announcement Wednesday evening to Thursday morning? What changed?
Well, when did the NBA get suspended?
Well, that's part of it. But what does that, what concrete change does that represent other than just the fact that someone else made a decision? I mean, what, to me, the biggest thing is, yes, the NBA is suspended and Fred Hoiberg was stupid and careless. And not careless that he was going to spread it. If he knew it wasn't coronavirus, well, first of all, he did not know it wasn't coronavirus, because if he had known it was coronavirus, they wouldn't have tested him for coronavirus in the hospital later that night, which they did. Okay? So I hate when people say, oh, he was cleared. What does that mean, he was cleared? Why would they have, if he was cleared, did that mean he was tested for coronavirus? Apparently it does, but apparently it doesn't, because he was tested later that night. So my issue here is the NCAA tournament and the conference tournaments all made the same decision based on what the NBA did, and I think they got scared because of the Hoiberg situation. But what is the real fear with playing that college basketball game? You tell me this, Noah. What was the real issue with playing the rest of the conference tournament that weekend?
The chance that if one player has it, he could easily give it to everybody else in the area.
Who's
everybody else that's
in
playing
area?
In the same game or in the same building?
Okay, so another 10, 15 people on the other team. Do you realize that these kids then go back to their respective universities and respective cities? They're with 10 to 15 people on a regular basis. I mean, listen, at that point, I think the CDC had just come out with this thing about 50 or less people. I just don't understand why two teams playing each other was. I understand the crowds not being involved. I get that. But I guess I've struggled during this whole situation, especially that weekend, as to why, you know, why it was such a big deal that two teams play each other. And I think it's
at this point they're trying to limit the spread of the virus as much as possible in every little way that they can. And that's why you see restaurants are closed except for drive-thrus, so that people can't be together in that case.
But remember, Noah, this was 2.5 weeks ago.
Well, yes, I understand that.
So, I get it. Now, like right now, I agree. I would, because I mean, we're trying to stay in as much as possible, just because, not because I'm freaking out about it or anything, but there's no real reason to be out if you don't have to be. And
right.
The sooner everybody can contribute to getting rid of this virus, the sooner, you know, you can get back into a routine.
Right. And I think that might be part of the reason why they moved as quickly as they did. Because they're trying to stay ahead of it and prevent it from becoming a really bad case, as we've seen in some other areas of the world. They want to stay ahead of it to try and prevent it from getting out of hand.
And so I don't want anybody to listen to this and think that I'm being insensitive towards those who have been affected by the coronavirus. That's not my point. And again, I'm kind of letting off some steam based on how disappointed I am that, you know, these guys, and I'm disappointed for the kids on every team. I mean, I think that's been one point of comfort for me, Alex, is the fact that I can step back and look at this and say, okay, how disappointing it is for Ryan Kreener, for Riley Till, for Bakari Evelyn, all these seniors, for Luca Garza, who's had maybe the best year in Iowa basketball history. How disappointing for these guys, but more so, take a step back and look at every other team in all these conferences and in every team that had a chance at getting an NCAA tournament berth. Everybody's feeling the same way. It's not just Iowa this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first person I thought of was Garza just because of the obvious amount of work that he put in over the offseason and everything leading up, and then to have it, you know, come to an end right before it gets to the part that actually matters, you know, that, and obviously that's the case with guys all across the country. He's just the first one I thought of, but yeah, I mean, the thing to me that seemed drastic wasn't that they were not going to hold that tournament. It was that they canceled it completely. You know, the NBA still has left it open-ended pretty much. We don't know for sure how long this thing's going to last, but I know with the college thing versus being a professional career, it's a different story, but just for them to say, okay, it's done and it's not, you know, this year is over with, that's the part that seemed drastic to me, because, you know, in the same way that we don't know if this could last for 6 months, maybe it could last a lot less. And at what point do you decide that you can't hold this tournament, hold either of these tournaments at all? You know, it just seems like they should have left it open-ended to me, but I don't know. We'll see how it plays.
Later that day, Fran McCaffrey came on SportsCenter on national TV on ESPN and said, he publicly stated that he and, we found out later, a lot of other coaches were open to the idea of playing in May.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I don't know why what is the harm in postponing it? Now you could say,
I don't know.
I guess you could say you're putting false hope into these kids that they're already having their dreams crushed. And I get that. Maybe that's it, but listen, the NCAA, as much as they say it's all about, you know, the kids and their safety, it's we all know the NCAA has a track record of looking out for itself, looking out for its profit, and I don't know. I just, to me, especially at that point, because now maybe a couple weeks later, now maybe it makes sense that, you know, that it got canceled, not postponed. But at the time, I agree with you. I just don't know how you could look at the situation and say, we're going to postpone it, as opposed to we're going to postpone it for now. And this next week, we're going to look at the logistics of possibilities if this virus can get contained. Noah, what are your thoughts?
Well, the whole thing that you're talking about postponing it and seeing what they could potentially do in the short term, they were probably already doing that for the couple of weeks or so up to that point, knowing that it was coming.
Right.
So at that point, they might have seen that it was going to get to the point, or assumed that it was going to get to the point where games just weren't feasible, even with small groups. Because, for example, the CDC says no more than 10 people. Well, that's more than just, say, 5-on-5 basketball, because you also have refs and any other event staff there to help run the thing. So it could be that they saw that this was coming, that it just wasn't going to be feasible to continue playing games like this. And so they took steps ahead of time. And I understand what you're talking about crushing people's hopes. And it's not just the players, it's all the fans everywhere. And sure, nobody wants it to be canceled, but at the same time, they could also say, hey, things are going better than we thought. Maybe we can bring it back at this time down the road.
Yeah, and here's the thing. About a week ago, heard an Iowa reporter talking about how he didn't think the season was over. He thought if they get this thing contained, we may see college basketball still yet. And Fran McCaffrey came on the radio and basically dispelled that and said everything he's heard, it's over. And there's just and now it's, you know, we've heard more outlooks on this virus that it could last longer than initially thought. So it's just a tough situation. And Alex, you mentioned you thought of Garza first. The first guy I thought of was Bakari Evelyn, because the guy transfers here from Valparaiso. He was originally at Nebraska, transfers to Valpo, then transfers back to Iowa in the Big Ten. And it had been, he had said before that he'd come here for a chance at the NCAA tournament. And to have that taken away in the senior season, I just think how terrible for the kid. You know, he worked hard to get to the point of being able to be somebody that could play at an Iowa type university.
Yeah, I mean, that's the story with all across the country with any senior. You know, I mean, not the exact story, but having that whole time, you know, end that way is just not a good story, and especially when it's a team that is definitely going to make it to the NCAA tournament and looks like they're have the firepower to make noise, you know, which I think Iowa definitely did. So, you know, it's especially heartbreaking for those guys. And I don't know. It's the word that comes to my mind is unprecedented. We've never had to deal with anything like this. And it's just kind of the perfect storm as far as the way this virus works to spread quickly and without people knowing they're spreading it. And it's just, it, you know, there's good that's going to come from this. And that's that we're going to have an idea of how to be prepared for it next time, but, or for something similar, because we had no idea what to do. The whole world has no idea what to do. And I think we will after this. So there will be good that comes from it. But right now it's a pretty bleak situation for a lot of people.
Micaiah, you're an NBA fan. Were you surprised when you heard that the NBA season was postponed?
After all of the noise about groups getting smaller, events getting shut down, the Golden State Warriors play in the Oracle, it's not Oracle Arena anymore, it's the Chase Center this year. They moved into San Francisco proper, and they actually had to stop holding fans in their home games before the NBA shut down the season. They said, look, we have direction, city ordinance, you can't have big groups here, so you're not going to be allowed to have fans in the stadium if you keep playing home games. So, you know, I don't know that they played any games without fans before the NBA shut the season down, but it was just one thing after another for a couple of days. And then Rudy Gobert gets diagnosed with it, and one other Jazz player, which turned out to be Donovan Mitchell, his teammate. And just especially after that, I was like, they're going to have to shut the season down because you don't know who Rudy played against. You don't know who else might have the disease, and they could contaminate other people, because even if they do start showing symptoms, you're contagious before you start showing those symptoms. So,
right. And in that case, the Jazz had played in three or four different cities in the last 10 days before he was tested positive. One of those, by the way, was Christian Wood from Detroit, who also had the coronavirus. So, and at that point, like what we've mentioned before, you don't know if Gobert gave it to Christian Wood or if Wood gave it to Gobert. It's just one of those things
Mitchell
where
gave it
they both
to
have
Gobert
it
either.
What was that?
Yeah, we don't know if Mitchell gave it to Gobert either. It's possible.
Right.
No, it's not possible.
But it's not likely.
It's not possible.
I think a lot of regardless of
Donovan
where it
Mitchell,
started.
Donovan Mitchell was tested positive like a week after Gobert.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No, I'm pretty sure it was the same.
The story I read is that they tested positive at the same time.
No.
I heard
no. Check your facts.
Thursday, the day after Gobert was tested positive and the season was suspended, I read that one other Jazz player other than Gobert was tested as positive.
That was not Donovan Mitchell. That was a different
Now we're all going to Google this. It really doesn't matter.
You can go back on Instagram and look at like SportsCenter's account when they posted it.
I don't Instagram.
You don't Insta?
Nope. I don't social.
Why don't you put up some selfies? You were putting them up on Facebook for a while.
What day of the week was March 11th?
Wednesday. So okay. March 11th would have been the day that the season was canceled and Gobert was tested as positive.
Okay, but so, I'm reading an article from Bleacher Report, and Gobert is the only person listed on here as testing positive.
What Noah said sounded about right as far as the timeline that I remember. It seemed like a day or so later that Mitchell was confirmed positive.
That's what I remember, too. I don't know. Anyways, after all that news came out, it really wasn't surprising. I knew they had to shut the season down. I was disappointed, for sure, but, you know.
So it was the day after. But keep in mind this. Keep this in mind. Gobert was on the tail end of this when he was tested positive. Remember, he had had symptoms prior. That's why he was joking about it in these press conferences. And by the time he got tested at positive, he was asymptomatic. So what I'm saying is there's still no way that Donovan Mitchell gave it to him, because Donovan Mitchell was tested positive after Gobert. And Donovan Mitchell, as I recall, had symptoms after, did he not?
I don't know.
I don't think he's had any symptoms from, because I've been following him, and he says that feels like he can run a marathon, and that was like last week. I don't think he's had any kind of symptoms at all, but Gobert just, I think a day or two ago, said that he can't taste or smell anything, so he's still having symptoms, you know, almost 2 weeks later, which tells me that he probably hadn't had it that long, if that's the way this thing is working.
I will say, not the loss of taste, but the loss of smell.
You still haven't recovered that sense of smell, have you?
Not fully. It's gotten better now. But I had that after just your average cold. So that's right. not necessarily uncommon.
When did it show up, Noah, in the timeline of your illness?
After his nose cleared and he could breathe again?
Basically.
Could you taste then, though?
What?
Could you taste?
When your nose was plugged up.
I never lost my sense of taste. But for whatever reason, I just couldn't smell things. I don't know.
He still doesn't have a very good sense of smell. It never really came back.
Not fully. Like I said, it's gotten a lot better. This was over a year ago that this started.
So ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, he commented that Jazz players privately say that Rudy Gobert had been careless in the locker room, touching other players and their belongings. Now a Jazz teammate has tested positive. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
The thing that I had heard, and you know, this is all speculation because I don't think there's any way to know, but that there was an outbreak, I think, in Donovan's hometown or something that he'd visited recently. So there's a possibility that he could have picked it up from there, but nobody's going to know.
Or they could have been contaminated by another player or staff member or
whatever.
Yeah,
and they're doing signatures. Yeah, I think a little kid got a signature from Gobert and tested positive. So, I mean, that could have worked the opposite way, too.
That was like days before they canceled or something, he got that signature?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got people
who
were saying
it could have. It could go either way from who knows how many different directions.
Yeah.
It probably didn't start with Gobert, but he's going to bear the brunt of this, and he deserves to after the way he acted.
I've got people who are saying that he should be banned from the league. Do you buy into that?
No, not banned, but he's going to have some trouble because I think he's going to have to move out of Utah because of what happened to his teammates. And he's going to have trouble finding another place to go after that.
I believe that the whole banning him from the league idea is completely going over the top.
Well, the league already came out and said that they weren't going to issue any punishment for him as far as that goes. As far as his relationship with his teammates, we really don't know. There's speculation. Mitchell, I read his think Instagram posts where he kind of alluded to being pissed off at Rudy, and I don't know. We'll just have to see. I mean, Donovan's the one who obviously probably suffered the most from Gobert's carelessness, and more than likely got it from him. So that'll be the main relationship, and that's probably the most important one on the team. But as far as the rest of the relationships, it's just hard to know without talking to those guys. I really haven't heard much from any of the other ones. Originally, they had said that Emmanuel Mudiay had tested positive, yes. But that ended up being fake. So.
Anyways, the real question at this point is, if they do bring the season back, what are they going to do? Are they going to play out the end of the season and compress the schedule? Are they going to drop some games, jump straight to the playoffs, drop playoff games maybe? You know, and at that point, there probably still won't be fans in the arena and players will be rusty, so it'll be a different experience. It doesn't matter what happens this year. If there is a champion, there's going to be an asterisk, but I think myself and a lot of others would at least like to have some kind of champion for the season, depending on how the virus progression goes.
Yeah, I think the NBA's handled it in the way that I wanted them to. I can't say that for the NCAA, but I think they've done the best they could as far as trying to preserve as much as possible. And I know it's different between a professional sport and a college sport, but
mm-hmm. And they were one of the first, if not the first, to suspend their season, weren't they?
They were definitely one of the first.
Yeah, they kind of set the bar.
But again, within the next few hours on Thursday, golf went, you know, all these different leagues, almost all of them started off by saying, we're just not going to have fans, mm-hmm. which I find funny because almost none of them did that. Like, they put it into place and then, like, they changed their minds 2 hours later because, you know, a different league made a decision, you know?
I know baseball played at least some. Are they still playing baseball? I know they played at least some games without fans. So they did go through with that.
Well, I saw on Streak for the Cash there was like an international friendly between. Was that the one that was the Ninja Monkeys?
I don't think that was baseball.
Oh, how about the Olympics being postponed? Your guys' thoughts on that? That just broke today.
Yeah. We all saw that coming.
Given everything else has been canceled,
the Olympics, especially given the timing of it, I think the Olympics should have been the first thing to be off the table.
And it's not just...
Unless something drastic happens on a worldwide scale over the next month or two, you know, this virus is just going to be hanging around and having millions and millions of people in one town.
And it's not just having a very large amount of people all together in one spot.
They're also from all different parts of the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's kind of transition this conversation to something else. Well, I mean, still related to the coronavirus pandemic that we're experiencing, but obviously there's bigger things than sports. But for the sake of this podcast, we're talking about sports. Let's just kind of focus on this. After all, we kind of, you know, you turn on the television or you know log into some. Basically any website on your phone or your computer or tablet, everything is about the novel coronavirus. So mm-hmm. let's just talk about sports and its effect on sports right now. Let's go around the panel here. What is your biggest concern? And we'll start with Micaiah. What is your biggest concern with this coronavirus as it relates to sports?
That it will take longer to get rid of the coronavirus to a safe enough degree that throughout the summer and even into potentially early in the fall, sports will continue to be hindered or even delayed or canceled, potentially moving the start of the NFL season and other things like that. College football could be affected for sure. You know, yeah, these
that's,
are...
That's, That's my biggest fear.
The MLB might just flat be out this season because the biggest chunk of their season's just going to be gone.
Well, you know, I wouldn't mind that at all.
I don't watch a lot of baseball, really. So I used to follow baseball a little bit, but between football and basketball, I've got enough sports to follow as it is.
But isn't it possible, Noah? I'm not saying it. You know, I know you're not a scientist. You're not a doctor. But isn't it possible? I know that's breaking news that Noah's not a scientist or a doctor. But isn't it possible, Noah, that this could all be somewhat behind us by the end of April?
Technically, yes.
That is like the earliest outlook is like April 20th-ish. Right. Things will start going downhill.
And what I have heard...
downhill in a good way. Like things will start ramping down. You know what I mean?
Right.
From what I have heard, the coronavirus does not do good in high temperature situations of about 84 degrees Fahrenheit.
You said he wasn't a doctor or a scientist.
I read this online. It's the only reason I know
let me ask you a question, though. How does anybody know that? This is a different strain that nobody's dealt with before. How do they know it doesn't deal well in the high temperatures?
It wouldn't be too hard to do tests on it. Put it in a controlled environment and turn the temperature up. And see.
I've heard that theory, but I've heard people argue that theory.
Well, and I mean, cold and flu virus tends to die down a lot over the summer months anyway.
It does, so but the flu virus, remember, the flu virus is totally different. It is a totally different virus.
Coronavirus is a type of flu virus.
But it's not the same strain. It's a totally different strain. You can call it a flu virus, but it's a different strain. So we don't know how it's going to react. If it was the same strain, then our flu shots would be keeping us from getting it.
Well, let me throw a wrench into the works. I don't know if you guys are aware of MERS, which is another strain of coronavirus that came up, I think, in Iran or Iraq a decade or two ago. But it was in the 100 degrees out there when that came up. And I don't think they ever got rid of that. I think it comes from camels or something, but it's still possible to get that, but they were able to contain it. But anyways, it survived just fine in 100-degree desert temperatures. So
right,
I think these coronaviruses have the potential to be able to survive
right.
high temperatures. I don't think we know yet how it's going to react.
What's the temperature in California and Florida right now? You're telling me they're not getting the 80-degree days? They're getting ravaged. California is getting ravaged by this disease. And, I mean, it's got to be in the 70s or 80s down there.
Why so negative?
Let me look at the Miami. didn't their mayor just get tested positive? Let me read you the high temperatures in Miami over the next 8 days. 85, 89, 90, 86, 86, 87, 87, 84. Come on.
Okay.
I mean,
Corey?
Well, I'm just sick of 40 degrees. Let's all move to Miami.
Yeah.
Corey, you do remember what I said as a caveat to this whole argument? This is what I read online.
Wait, you were the one who said
that's an answer.
Were you the one who said it?
Yeah, he said he read.
I'm sorry, I was attacking Micaiah this whole time. I apologize.
you were attacking Noah.
Yeah.
That changes everything.
I was gonna say I've spent the last 5 minutes being angry at Micaiah.
I'm sorry, Noah.
I'm sorry. I would say that's my biggest fear is that, and I thought about this when the news first started breaking and we first started hearing outlooks, because some people were saying it's going to be done by the end of April. My biggest fear with this is, well, first of all, spring football. Listen, spring football is basically gone.
Yeah, the XFL's done.
But I'm talking about spring practice for Iowa and for college football programs. The problem the problem with that, Micaiah, is Iowa, as you know, is a developmental program. So spring is more important, in my opinion, to Iowa than to many other programs. So even if the season is played as normal, does this not actually hamper Iowa more than it hampers other schools?
Basically, what you're saying is they're losing valuable training time to get ready for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Ohio
things
State
like,
or
things like weight training programs and you know outdoor workouts and conditioning is all going to go way downhill, and nobody's going to be in shape come August.
It's funny, you're talking about being in shape. I'm on my email, and there's a little ad on the right side, and it's a picture of Chumlee from Pawn Stars. Alex, do you know who I'm talking about?
I think I do.
You guys knew, you know who Chumlee is. Okay.
We didn't get to meet him in Vegas, so I was disappointed.
Well, isn't he in jail now?
Oh, I have no idea. I think he lost a bunch of weight, didn't he?
Well, that's a picture of him before he lost a lot of weight.
that's the Chumlee I know and love.
I have lost weight, thank goodness. Still losing weight, even sitting on my butt at home.
As has your father. Has he gained any back?
No, he's still going down. He's 240 now.
Is he on a diet right now, or is that the
deal? Yeah, he was up 325 at one point, and over the last year, 2 years, he's lost almost 100 pounds.
So what diet is he using?
Well, he started with Whole 30 because he lost weight on that, and that didn't work. He switched to keto, and that worked, but it was hard to keep up. Now mm-hmm. he's on Weight Watchers, and it's just steady, slow and steady weight loss. That's what I'm on. I've lost 16 pounds.
So you're going to be ready to dunk?
I kind of lose a little bit more weight and have access to a basketball court, you know?
Once this 10 or less thing is lifted and we feel like we're on the opposite end of this pandemic, we got to get over to Riverview and we got to tear that place up. Would you agree, Noah?
I would definitely agree. I've been wanting to play basketball.
Last time I played basketball, I shot so good. Oh, man.
I shot really good.
I had one of those once every 2 months games.
Yeah, didn't you just dominate Noah the whole time, Micaiah?
Yes. I was contesting everything, and he just kept making it anyways.
There you go, straight from the horse's mouth.
You know what the common factor is whenever that happens, Micaiah?
What?
That I'm on the opposite team from you.
That's true. Last time I did that, I was playing with Austin. It was like you and Noah versus me and Austin.
Right.
And I scored a bunch of points. So I just play opposite you from now on.
That's right.
Well, the only positive about this whole coronavirus thing is, as of right now, we're not really missing much on, as far as weather, because it's still been pretty chilly out. I mean, it's not like it's...
And damp. Know. It's supposed to rain on and off until, like, Saturday.
So my point is, at least it's not... You know, and the
it hasn't started ruining good summer days yet.
Right, exactly. Now it may. It probably will. I mean, again, maybe this is out of here by April, and maybe April will be a really crappy month weather-wise. We won't feel so bad about it. Not that it hasn't already. It's taken enough. You know, people are losing their jobs, and it's hurting people. But you know, maybe this thing is done by end of April, and we can get back to routines. But Noah, what's your biggest concern? As it relates to sports?
Well, as far as my personal concerns, I would have to agree with Micaiah and everything he said earlier. But a side point that I would also like to make is it's not just about this summer, you know, going into the start of next season. This could have implications for all of the major sports for next year, a couple of years from now, as they still are trying to readjust and come back from changing schedules and changing in funding and all of the time that they lost.
Well, and it's going to hit TV deals potentially, and player contracts are going to get hit, and they're going to be out of conditioning, like I mentioned earlier. And potentially, like, if you push the NBA season back and push the playoffs back past their start date, which was right about mid-April, April 15th or so. You push that back to May, mid-May maybe, and and now you're compressing the off season or pushing other seasons back, and it can kind of stack, the effect can stack for seasons.
Well, what I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that they are going, the NBA anyways, is supposed to shorten next regular season.
They were talking about doing that, yeah. Like, to me, treating next year like it's a lockout season. So they would start playing, basically they'd start playing NBA basketball around December or January.
Right.
And push it back a month or two.
Can I make a point here?
Knock games off the schedule.
Wouldn't it be best for the NBA to start around the turn of the new year anyways, so that it doesn't compete with football?
Does anybody care about the Hawkeyes? You know, I'm so sick of this. You know, I come on here and all we have to talk about is the NBA. And I'm sitting here thinking about college football and
college basketball.
Well, Lord, if this affects,
I don't blame you, Corey, but right now college basketball is over and college football, we really don't know. So
the NBA is
really the only talking point right now. That and the MLB, maybe. NASCAR. Let's talk about NASCAR.
If you had to guess, Alex, is college football going to be directly affected by this in September? Now, I'm not asking you. Obviously, it's already affected it because of again of not being able to have spring training and spring practices, and scrimmages, but. Will there be games played without fans or games not played at all?
If you directly had to guess affected. Right now. So, in other words, whether or not the virus will still be a problem come September.
Is it going to be a problem to where either games are not played on schedule, games are not played in front of fans, or games are not played at all?
I think there's probably not a person on this planet that could answer that in a meaningful way. The problem to me is the way that they're treating this, which I think is probably the correct way or close to the correct way. And as they say, flattening the curve of how many people are getting this all at once, because you don't want to have hospitals overloaded. I think what that's possibly going to do is actually extend this out longer into the future. So in other words, I have a feeling that this virus is just going to run through the whole population, and the only way to be immune to it is to get it and get better. So the fewer people that have it, I just don't see in this country it getting contained. Maybe in a communist country like China, in a country like this, you know, I don't think that you're going to be able to lock people down enough to contain this. It's so contagious. Nobody has an immunity to it. And by flattening the curve, you're actually probably going to extend out the longevity of how long this thing is out there. So
I think the question is at that point, how much does it extend out?
Right. Well, it's just impossible to say.
If it depends on, you know, again, and it's, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen from a legal standpoint, but, you know, the president talked today about how the country is going to get opened back up here pretty soon is what he said. Now, again, who knows what that means. But, you know, I think at some point if they realize this, they probably will uplift restrictions. And
well, they have to. They will have to, because the economy is going to take such a hit. They can't keep stuff closed down for better or for worse. It's going to be probably for worse as far as the virus goes, but I mean, it will put us into a depression if people aren't able to go back to their jobs. Even if the virus is still raging, I think they're still going to have to reopen a lot of things, which is just the unfortunate truth, I think, of how an economy works.
Here's the deal, though. Here's the deal, okay? Let's use common sense with all of this. If people... Okay, and I'm not talking about people who work at Walmart. I'm not talking about law enforcement. I'm not talking about any of this. If people in general would stay in their homes and not go out for 2 weeks, if everybody did that for 2 weeks, this thing would be done by the end of April. Am I right, Micaiah? If everybody did that, the virus is not going to survive. It can't survive without a host. So whoever has it, it runs its course in 2 weeks. We'd be finished with this thing by May. Well, the problem is being able to get people to actually be smart and use common sense.
Yeah, and even just a few people breaking quarantine completely shatters the whole, almost completely shatters the idea of quarantine to begin with. Plus, you're also talking about shutting down virtually the entire planet and all of the economy and goings on across the entire planet for a couple of weeks. And the fact is that people are just not really equipped to handle that. It would, some would take it better than others, but in some cases it would lead to hysteria even.
It's already
panic.
I went to Walmart today and
beyond toilet paper.
Well, that's what I was going to comment on. I went to Walmart today and this is not a racial thing, but a couple Chinese guys had a cart loaded full of toilet paper. And I'm thinking, seriously, are you kidding? They got masks on. I'm like, I wanted to look at them and say, you're idiots. I mean, I
can't believe they found any.
They've restocked a lot of this. A lot of these stores have restocked their shelves. But my point is,
now that they've restocked, now the other half of the world that doesn't have 12 months supply of toilet paper is going to go in and buy it all up.
You're not contributing positively. You're just not, you know.
No, they don't care. That's not the mindset. They're not contributing. Isn't the mindset at all? Unless it's to themselves.
Right. No, I just get sick of it. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, it's so stupid because the supply chains have not been affected yet, which means that there is no shortage of toilet paper. It's just people hoarding it, and same with food. To an extent, I don't know how bad it is in other parts of the country, but. You know, those businesses, those industries are still going strong and food is there. It's like they said on the news, if you go to the distributors, the food is there and yet it's not on the shelf. Well, that's because people are not buying what they need. They're buying what they need for the next 6 months and for toilet paper for the next 6 years. So it's a total joke.
Yeah. And if you're investing in Quilted Northern, sell now. The stock is going to go way down.
Yeah, you know, it would be amazing if this was all perpetrated by those toilet paper companies. That would be like the scam of history.
You know, if they were doing that, then that would explain why Charmin Ultra always says, if you're going to go, why not enjoy the go? You know, if they're really enjoying it now. So,
well, and like everybody keeps saying, nobody I've talked to understands the toilet paper shortage. Not a single person. We clean grocery stores. We talk to grocery store personnel. They don't know why toilet paper is flying off the shelves. Diarrhea is not one of the symptoms.
It's panic.
I can tell you, it's because it's a cascading effect that especially this country suffers from. And I'm actually curious, maybe one of you guys know, if this is a problem in any other country with the toilet paper.
That's a good question. Maybe Canada.
I would like to know because I don't know. Maybe it is, but I have a feeling it might just be an American thing. And I've seen this before with other things where it just is a buildup compounding thing that happens. And it's really obnoxious.
One person decides they need a ton of toilet paper or a group does. And then people see them doing it and they go, ooh, I should do that.
Yep.
And then they jump on that.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing.
Then there's a shortage. Then it becomes a meme. And then now people are buying it because it's a meme.
But here's the other thing. It might be a cultural thing, but it also, social media and technology have destroyed common sense. I mean, they have. It's just.
But is it the chicken and the egg? Because we kind of agree.
Well, I think 20
social
years
media has enabled people with no competence.
By the way, speaking of chicken and eggs, good luck finding either.
Hey, yeah. I got three whole chickens today, Noah.
All right.
Three whole
Party
chickens.
Party at Alex's place. Let's go.
And here I thought this was a sports podcast.
You're gonna put that whole onion in there?
That's right, I got onions too. And garlic.
You're gonna put the whole onion in the middle? You're gonna put it in the cavity?
Sorry.
You gotta stick your hand and pull out the giblets first.
Crack a can of beer open, put it up the bottom, take a small potato and plug the top, stick it in the oven for 3 hours, pull it out.
You know,
it's steamy and delicious.
And now it's a cooking podcast.
Alex, do you remember that when I worked
when I worked for
KFJB, when that woman came on the air to talk about how to properly prepare a turkey? And I have it recorded somewhere. It's probably on a different phone, but she was talking about how you got to reach all the way up into the cavity and make sure that you got to make sure that it's completely buttered and moist in there. And then you got to get over by the breast and you got to lift up the breast and tuck a little butter underneath. And I'm thinking, this is disgusting. I don't want to hear about this.
Also, can I just add?
What you do in your kitchen?
Can I just ask? Who goes to that kind of effort to cook a turkey?
Hey, you got to make sure it's moist in every place, Noah. Just like when you're going to bed and you feel your skin is dry, and you make sure you put a lot of lotion on every dry port. You know, that's the same.
Every follicle. You know, I still remember. I think you and Tiana came over while I had my hand inside of that chicken. I can still picture your face.
Oh, man. I need to see a picture of that.
I wish it had on video.
Okay. Before we conclude this, whatever this has become.
This is a cooking podcast.
Let's just talk real briefly about our outlook. Assuming college football and college basketball are, you know, I think if we were betting people and we all had to place bets on if the college football season will happen or will it not happen, I think all of us would probably say it will happen, correct? I mean, I don't think any of us have that. We all know it's a possibility it doesn't, but I think all of us would probably lean towards it's going to happen, correct?
Especially since it's so far away yet.
Like early September? Late August? When does it start?
Let's see. Look at the schedule. Could be the first weekend or last weekend. Let's see here. First game is on September 5th.
Yeah, it'll happen. Might even be fans. There might be a limit on how many fans. But I think it'll happen.
But let's just talk real briefly. Assuming college football and college basketball happen next year, would you agree, Alex, without analyzing it, this has the potential, this coming football and basketball seasons for Iowa, this has the potential of being the two seasons joined together in one fall year, one fall and winter year. It has the potential of being the greatest combination for Iowa sports in probably the last 20 years. Is that fair to say?
I mean, I would say that. I know what you're getting at. I'd say it's more has the potential because we didn't really get to see the end of the basketball season. They definitely had the potential, and we don't know next year how the football team will be. But, yeah, I think they have –
Well,
both
but,
team,
but
you know,
yeah, I again, we don't know. I mean, but there have been some way too early rankings that have already come out for basketball, and a lot of people have Iowa in the preseason top 10. And let's be honest, they lose Kreener, they lose Evelyn, they lose Till. By the way, the NCAA recently came out with basically an exemption for all spring sports athletes, seniors, and these athletes will get an extra year of eligibility. That's for spring sports, so softball, baseball, track and field, I think field hockey, I don't know if they're spring. But the point is, all these sports are going to get an extra year. They have not said anything about winter sports because most of those seasons, like basketball, were played up until the postseason. But imagine if some crazy thing happened and they found a way to give all those seniors another year of eligibility. and Iowa were to return Kreener, Evelyn, and Till. Oh, actually, Till. I don't think Till's coming. Let me just say this. I don't think Till's coming back either way. Do you think Fran would... What would Fran do in that situation if Evelyn and Kreener both came back?
Well, the thing that I don't understand is how that would affect the academic part, because even if they were eligible, if they're not still in college, you know,
remember, lots of guys graduate early. You know, Garza's on pace to graduate, I think, this spring. So, yeah. You know, they're going to be working on their post-grad degree, whatever that may be. So,
I mean, assuming they go that route, I guess, I mean, it's the only hope we've got now, right?
I don't think that's going to happen for those kids, by the way. I just don't, because the majority of the season was played. I'm just saying, I've heard that as a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I wish they could at least have left it open-ended and give us some hope. You know what I'm saying?
But just looking at Iowa basketball next year, assuming Garza and Wieskamp coming. First of all, Wieskamp is not ready for the NBA. Are we all in agreement on that?
Yeah.
He's not ready for the NBA. Garza, as great as Garza was this year, and by the way, he's already won Sporting News National Player of the Year. He won ESPN National Player of the Year, AP National Player of the Year. Did he win AP? I think he won AP. And there's still obviously the big ones, the Naismith Award, the Wooden Award, all those are still coming, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award, all those are still to come, and he may or may not win those. It's basically between him and Obi Toppin, I think, from Dayton. But the bottom line is, Garza is not projected on mock drafts that I see. Now, I've heard that there are some that have him in the late second round, but come on, the way Garza, his work ethic and his desire to win and desire to win with his teammates at Iowa, and the fact that they didn't get to the tournament. I know people are saying, well, it doesn't matter if they, you know, that's not going to affect his decision. I think the fact that they didn't get to the NCAA tournament may affect his decision. Don't you, Alex? Especially knowing his family and how they operate and how focused they are and making him better and doing it the right way and taking it step by step. I have a hard time seeing him jump to the NBA from here.
I mean, I don't think there's any question that somehow this will have an effect on what he does, but as far as the mock draft thing, I think I've said before on here, I don't care what that says. There's no way that a 7-footer like him who can shoot the three is not going to get interest from the NBA. I just don't, that doesn't make any sense to me. So,
well, the bottom line even is now, I'm hoping he comes back, obviously, selfishly. But if Garza comes back, you've got... Look at this lineup, Alex. And Makai, I know you don't follow Iowa basketball as much as we do, but think about this lineup. You return Garza, CJ Frederick, Joe Wieskamp. Jordan Bohannon's going to be back from his second hip surgery. Theoretically, he hasn't gotten approved for his medical hardship waiver, but he most likely will. Jack Nungy, who was the starting power forward until he went down with an ACL... like three games into the season, he's going to be back. We assume Cordell Pemsel's going to be back. We know Connor McCaffrey's going to be back, and what a player he's turned out to be for Iowa. Joe Toussaint's going to be a sophomore after an up-and-down freshman year. We know how athletic and talented and quick he is. Really improved his ability to shoot the three late in the year. He's going to be back. And, you know, add in a guy like Patrick McCaffrey, who was a 4-star recruit coming out of high school, didn't play more than a couple games because of some lingering health issues as it relates to his recovery from cancer. But if he's back, we assume he's going to be after redshirting this year. So Patrick's there as a 4-star. Nobody's talking about him. And still you add in 5 freshmen. You got a five-man freshman class. And yes, I understand that it was not a really highly ranked class. But let me tell you this right now. Those 5 guys who committed to Iowa and were viewed as kind of lower tier recruits, they have looked really, really good since they committed to Iowa. 2 of them are twins. We know the Murray twins. They're 6'7", 6'8". One's left-handed, one's right-handed. They've dominated. They reclassified as high school seniors. So they reclassified. They got an extra year at an academy down in Florida. They've looked really good. We've got Tony Perkins coming in. He's a shooting guard, extremely athletic. Aaron Ulis, the brother, the younger brother of a guy that Micaiah and Noah, you probably both know, Tyler Ulis, who's in the NBA. His younger brother, Aaron Ulis, is committed to play for Iowa as a point guard slash two guard. And then the big man that Iowa fell back on after they lost out on the commitment from Xavier Foster, Josh Ogundole, who's originally from Worcester. He is also coming to Iowa, 6'10", big guy, big boy, as we'd say. Five guys coming in next year, and I don't think – here's the thing. I think this is a luxury because in past years, I shouldn't say he's had to play these freshmen, but I think a lot of the freshmen that we've had high hopes for, we kind of expect them to play. We want them to play because we want to see what they have bring to the table. Now, I think we all agree there's a good chance that Fran doesn't play more than maybe one or maybe two of those freshmen their first year. I see no way that the Murray twins both play. Maybe one of them, but I wouldn't be surprised if both of them redshirt. And I think one of the guards will redshirt between Ulis and Perkins, assuming that Bohannon is back and assuming nothing happens with Toussaint or Connor. But, I mean, that is a loaded team when you've got the best three-point shooter in Iowa history in Bohannon, the best big man in Iowa history in Garza, one of the best three-point shooters, the best three-point shooter by percentage in the Big Ten in C.J. Frederick, and a guy who tested the NBA waters last year in Wieskamp, and in the floor general and Connor. Am I overestimating this, Alex, or does that not sound like a team that could compete to make an Elite Eight, maybe even a Final Four run?
He's muted himself again.
Yeah, I'm back.
Starting and ending the podcast in the same fashion.
It'd be hard for me to say that, but I think they will, if Garza comes back, be able to just pick up right up where they left off.
But you're getting Bohannon, McCaffrey, Nungy, and all those freshmen. And I know you're losing Kreener and Evelyn, but
Kreener, yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know, I mean,
Kreener's a role player, and you know,
as was Evelyn.
Yeah, Evelyn's another guy. I mean, they're both important, but they're role players, so I think they can be replaced. It's just, we don't know with the freshmen or total question marks to say that they're going to be significantly better than this past season. You know, I wouldn't say that.
But they're not. What I'm saying is those freshmen, there's no pressure on those freshmen. None of those guys have to do anything. They're losing two guys plus Riley Till, if you want to add him in. And they're getting Jordan Bohannon, Jack Nungy, who are both starters. Okay, they were both starters earlier in the year, and Patrick McCaffrey, who sat out, who was a four-star recruit. So they don't even need those freshmen to do anything. They can sit on all those freshmen. They can redshirt them all if they decide to. And to me, there's just no pressure on that class at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think the potential's there. Like you said, though, we tend to kind of hype up the freshmen in our own minds, you know, before we really see them in college. So it's hard to say much for them, but we kind of have an idea what we'll get from guys like Nungy and Bohannon. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely think they'd have the potential to be better than this past team, but I think they'd most definitely be as good as this past year.
And I think this year they had a chance at a Sweet 16, so I'm just saying with the team and the injury problems, Frederick was hurt a lot of the year, as was Pemsel. So with all those guys coming back, I don't know. I could be wrong, and it would be really weird if somehow the NCAA granted a waiver for guys like Evelyn and Kreener. I have no idea how Fran would handle that. To me, if he did that, then you're definitely redshirt. Would you agree? You're definitely redshirting all five freshmen.
Yeah, I mean, I know for sure, if depending on life circumstances and everything, but I would, if I was a guy like Evelyn or Kreener, that's something that I would want to do. You know, even if I wasn't quite as committed, I would still want to be part of that team. And yeah, it would be interesting to see. I think that would help them transition into next season without as much growing pains, you know, from having guys come in who haven't played in a long time. So it'd be, I hope that happens. I mean, it's probably our only, probably our best hope at this point, most positive outlook we can think of. So.
But I do think that if those guys are gone, which we expect them to be gone, Evelyn and Kreener, I think it would make sense in my mind, just for, you know, sitting here in March, for maybe Ogundele or one of the two Murray twins, one of those three guys to play, and then one of the two guards, either Perkins or Euless, because you're losing Evelyn, even though you're gaining Bohannon, but you're losing Evelyn, who is a ball handler. That's why, you know, and they were already pretty thin at two guard as it was, because, you know, Frederick, Bohannon, and Evelyn all had, well, Evelyn didn't have injury problems, but he's going to be gone next year. You get my point. So I feel like if those guys came back, you wouldn't really need one of those two guards, and you wouldn't need one of those three forward / centers. So anyways, it is what it is. We've got a long way to wait, and we've got a lot. Who knows? Guards could declare, and that changes a lot. You know, I still think they're going to be a good team without Garza. I think it'd be a top 25 team without Garza, but it would change everything if he were to declare. And we don't know what, you know, transfers can happen, certainly. Fran doesn't have a history of a whole lot of guys that actually get significant minutes transferring, besides Isaiah Moss last year, but certainly it could happen. So we'll just have to wait and see. As far as football, as we finish up this multi-hour podcast, as far as football goes, I know, Alex, you and I have talked about it. Makai, I know we haven't been able to talk about it, you know, now that sports is kind of done for the time being. But I'm excited about football next year, and I know Epinesa is gone. I know that Tristan Wirfs is gone. Tristan Wirfs was a monster at the NFL Combine, by the way. I know that Geno Stone declared. I know that Michael Ojemudia is gone. They lost Brady Ross, their fullback. They lose Nate Stanley, their quarterback. He was at the Combine as well. I mean, they lose guys every year. Christian Welch, he's gone. I don't know. I just look at this and I say, okay, what do they have returning? First of all, they have one of the best wide receiver corps that Iowa's ever had under Kirk Ferentz, I believe. Amir Smith-Marset, Brandon Smith, Nico Reganey, Tyrone Tracy. Are we all in agreement on that?
It's definitely up there for sure.
Yeah, probably the best all around that I've seen.
Okay.
Yep.
Remember? Do you remember two years ago?
Such great addition to this conversation, guy.
This podcast has gone on too long. I don't even know what English is anymore at this point.
Do you remember a couple of years ago there, though, where we kept saying who's going to step up a wide receiver?
Yep.
And now they've literally got four guys, and that's not counting Oliver Martin.
You mean back in the Max Cooper days?
Hey, you know, Max Cooper is still technically their punt returner. He's still here, Noah.
Who was it you were going crazy over
Falconer.
There for? Yeah, Falconer.
Well, and don't forget about Jay Scheel. How could we forget about Scheel?
Scheels.
Or his favorite place to shop before every Hawkeye football game.
They've literally got five wide receivers that I think we can count on. And then you add in Tyler Goodson, who can line up out wide, line up in the slot, line up as a running back. We know that Torin Young, and we have Makai Noah, were you surprised that Torin Young basically said, I'm going to be trying to pursue my pro career? Do you think he's headed to the CFL or the XFL? Were you surprised at Torin Young's decision to forego his senior year?
I mean, to a certain point, I don't personally see why he would make the jump now, but I can't speak for him. There may be other things that's motivating him, because remember, none of these guys, despite how good they may be, get paid for any of it, for the most part. So even if it is to one of those smaller leagues, like, say, the XFL, it's still an improvement to help pay off his tuition or whatever, help his family. So if it's for one of those things, I can fully understand. If it's because he thinks he's ready, hey, he thinks it, at least.
Alex, what tuition does Turin Young have to pay off?
Probably none.
Yeah, I don't know.
Most athletes don't pay tuition.
Noah's getting tired.
We've been in this Skype call for 2.5 hours. I'm just trying to make it sound good.
The other thing I was going to mention, Torn Young's gone, but they get Tyler Goodson, and we think Mekhi Sargent's going to be back, and we don't know what's going to happen with Ivory Kelly Martin. So look at that running back corpse. And I know they lost Tristan Wirfs, but the biggest news to me in the offseason, and Alex, I'm extremely excited about this. I know you and I have talked about it, but crap. I'm probably more excited than any of you on this, and I don't know if that's surprising to any of you, but Coy Kronk, the transfer tackle from Indiana. The kid has started, I believe, if I get these numbers right, he started 13 games, 12 games, 12 games, and 4 games. If I'm not mistaken, that means he started, is it 30 or 31 games in his career at Indiana? Started that many games. He's been a starter since he was a freshman. The only reason he's got another year is because he played 4 games and got hurt this past year. And so Coy Kronk, a starting left tackle, is transferred, has transferred to Iowa, something that Iowa has not done a whole lot, especially getting these multi-year starters, especially on the offensive line. They typically like to develop these guys. But talk about a plug and play, whether they want to put him at tackle or they want to shift Kallenberger over to tackle and put him at guard. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Tristan Wirfs, but how big is that to get Coy Kronk in here after losing Wirfs to the NFL?
Yeah, I think it's
gonna,
big.
It's going to help a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's huge. And then they've got, of course, Kallenberger's back. Kyler Schott is going to be back. Let's see. I'm missing it. The freshman kid, big kid, played guard. Can't think of his name. But of course, Linderbaum, their starting center, is back. I think their line's going to be fine. They get Alaric Jackson back. That was the biggest, Alex. Alaric Jackson. We expected him and Wirfs both be gone, and he never even explored it. He was committed to this, you know, having a healthy senior year. I just think
I wasn't overly surprised though, because he underperformed from his expectations. Yeah, I know, but in his stock, you know. In terms of his NFL stock, I think that he knows he can up that by playing another year.
Well, I just think about who they have in that offensive line. Jackson, Linderbaum, Kronk, Kallenberger, Schott. Is Banwart? I think Banwart may have graduated.
I think Kronk is a great football name.
And like he's a big boy.
If he goes to the NFL, he's going to have some nicknames like Gronk, I guess.
And in the defensive line, yes, they lose Epinesa, but remember, they get back Chauncey Golston. Golston's a kid that we didn't know if he'd be back because he was having a heck of a year. You get that Golston, you get back big old Davion Nixon. I know they lost Cedric Lattimore. They get back big old Noah Shannon, Austin Schulte. I like your little emoji guy, right as I was about to say Austin Schulte, I saw that. My point is, and yes, they lose Ojemudia, but you know that they've always got guys that defend back. They get Hankins back. They get Riley Moss healthy. Julius Brent should be healthy. DJ Johnson's back. Isn't the only – what? We'll end on this. I think there's no question for all four of us. The biggest question mark is what for the football team next year?
Will we start the season on time?
Well, yes, that's the biggest question
mark. I think he's talking about the roster itself.
Yes, as far as the roster, no.
Considering he talked about literally every position except for quarterback, I'm going to assume he's looking for quarterback.
You're replacing a 3-year starter in Nate Stanley.
Yeah.
And a guy that won 3 bowl games in his career at Iowa. That's the biggest question at this point. Now, yeah. I was encouraged by the fact that Kirk Ferentz is comfortable calling Spencer Petras the starter right now, which he normally doesn't do this early. He called him the starter earlier in the year and said, you know, it's going to be a battle between him, Padilla, and the freshman, Deuce Hogan. Peyton Manziel's transferring on, no surprise there. I mean, I think that's the biggest question, but Iowa has a history of first-year quarterbacks playing pretty well in interference. Any thoughts on that?
I didn't hear what you said.
He said that first year quarterbacks have a history of playing pretty well in interference. To me, if they get that position figured out, they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I
think the bottom line is I'm running out of things to talk about during the coronavirus. Okay.
All right. But we will see you in 3 months.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, the good news is, Micaiah, we have, you know, at least another month or two or three to talk about stuff because there's nothing else to talk about. So
I guess.
Anything else to add? Anybody, Alex, you got anything?
Not much.
There is a branch of the NBA still running. The NBA E-League is still in operation. Players are playing games from home. So if you feel like watching professional NBA 2K players, you can do that somewhere.
Are you
going to
plug
your
channel?
Am I going to plug my channel? I currently have one subscriber. It's me from a different channel. So,
so you need to plug.
Yeah.
What a plug.
By the way, what is your question on the chat? Is answer question.
That's a very good point.
What is that?
It's a poll. You polled. I can tell. There's four of us here. Two of us answered yes. Two of us answered no. Is answer question yes or no?
I believe it is.
Have any of you put your cursor over the little emoji?
I'm on a phone. I don't know how to do that.
It moves.
Oh, yeah, it's moving.
It's, what is it doing?
It's sweating.
It's got the coronavirus. Sorry, we should not make light of this, I guess. All right. Well, if that's, you know, I'm going to stop this thing before we hit the 2-hour mark.
We're not Micaiah, there yet. Know you...
No, we're about 1:53.
Okay.
No, don't forget, we've been in this chat for about 45 minutes before we started recording.
I'm aware. And remember, we recorded a part of the show that got deleted. that we had to re-record.
Because Alex
so.
Was nowhere to be found.
Okay, my YouTube channel is ITGK Sports. There, I plugged it.
Everybody subscribe to that. Now it'll be really amazing if you get like 100 subscribers all because of that one plug.
I doubt it. I got like 5 videos. One of them was a breakdown of the start of the NFL 2017 season. Then I went like 2 years without posting a video, and I've got 2K. Basically, everything is NBA 2K related. Since
well, at least you're good at branding and marketing.
Yep.
So, anything else to add, Noah?
The plugs, though.
Do you have anything to add, Noah?
Not really. I mean, I think the last 2 hours has pretty well covered it.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll be back. We've got a lot of time on our hands. So, a lot of...
Problem will be finding something new to talk about.
I hope that we'll get some news regarding... something football related, transfers, that kind of thing. I don't want any guys to transfer away from Iowa, but hopefully we'll get some news that we can talk about. And, hopefully at that point we'll have something to talk about. And obviously, if we hear news about the NBA season and their plans, if this thing starts, you know, this whole virus thing starts dumbing down a little bit, so to speak, then maybe we'll be able to have a feel for the outlook, but I guess that's all to be seen in the coming weeks. And as of right now, things are getting pretty ugly. So, All right, that will do it for week 117 of Brada's Branded Thoughts. For Alex Brada, Micaiah Kruko, Noah Kruko, I'm Corey Brada. We will talk to you again soon with week 118 next time. Everybody stay safe. Stay in if you can. Try to stop the spread of this nasty virus that we got going on, not only here locally in Iowa, but all over the earth. So again, this has been Brada's Branded Thoughts, week 117. Go Hawks, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, I guess that's it.
Corey left.
No, I'm back.
This is the corner that he's recording the call, though.
Well, it's let's see. Just stop recording. Okay, everybody hang up, and let me see if it, I'll see if it actually records. I don't want to hit stop recording. I don't want to actually delete it. So everybody hang